So, oh yes, we will train them. Don't be late. So, any other questions? Actually, inquiring is, you know, that's the order of Krishna. Tadvini pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam ganenas tadvadarshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Krishna's order. So when you inquire, then you're doing what Krishna ordered you to do. So Krishna is pleased when you inquire from the Guru. You're very happy. Oh, they obeyed me. I tell them to approach the Guru and make inquiries, and they have done them. So it's a nice way to please Krishna. So one should never be shy if there's some question. One should never be shy if there's any question. Always bring it out, because Krishna is very happy. Oh, they're following my instructions I gave in the Bhagavad Gita. They're inquiring. As soon as I turn on the tape recorder, all the questions gone. All the good questions were there.
Because they weren't scared that they didn't.
Oh, it's being recorded.
I was just going up to my question. I'm not sure if it's good or not.
Is it recorded?
There may be some types of service that one finds particularly enlivening, say reading or.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the nature of the devotee, but there may be other types of. Well, I'm thinking of myself like administrational services. Like it is a service, but sometimes you wonder about the direct impact on furthering Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And you think it is doing some service, but the results. For example, like writing a constitution for an organization or something like this, it's very labor intensive, but it doesn't seem to be showing, immediate fruit, and it might be cutting into reading Bhagavatam, for example, or like how to decide and weigh up that balance and in devotional service.
Well, that's why we have guru, that's why we have senior devotees to guide us, so we can always. From their experience, we can understand. Can consult with our seniors. If these sort of questions are there, am I spending my energy? Am I managing my time properly for my own Krishna consciousness and for spreading it? Then we have senior devotees. That's what you do. You consult with seniors. And if they're saying, no, this constitution is very important because in the long run it'll enable us to spread Krishna consciousness like anything, then you just do it. You put your faith in the words of these seniors and you do it. Even though you can't see the result, you just put your faith in the instructions. In this way. There were so many things that people couldn't see faith. They couldn't see. But they did it because Prabhupada told them. Just like when Prabhupada started life membership preaching in India, he told the devotees to go out and ask for 1,111 rupees and offer to give them all the books, and they didn't think it was possible. They kept avoiding it, and finally they did it, and they started getting incredible results. So they didn't have the understanding of how it could be a tremendous way of raising funds to spread Krishna consciousness in India. Thought it was a waste of time. So we don't always have the vision that the spiritual master has or the senior devotees have. So we just put our faith in their instructions, our superiors. We just follow their instructions, and then the results come in due course. Questions more?
Yep. The 16th round, which Srila Prabhupada had said, is must.
Yeah, it's compulsory, yes. At least 16 rounds, yes.
The least, what is?
That means 16 or 17 or 18 or 19. You have to do a minimum 16 every day.
That's according to Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
Now,
that's his kindness, because actually Krishna says you must chant 24 hours a day, nonstop. Satatam kirtayam tomam. Krishna orders that you must chant 24 hours a day, nonstop. That's the order of Krishna. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we can get the credit for being purely absorbed in chanting by only doing a minimum, by doing 16 rounds, which is just a small, you know, 1.5-2 hours a day. It's a minimization by the mercy of the pure devotee.
I heard some of them in the Dham, in Mayapur Dham, and think that they're doing 4 rounds or 8 rounds.
One could do that, but that one cannot be initiated. For somebody who's just starting, maybe they will do 4 rounds or 8 rounds until they can come up to 16. If somebody is chanting, if somebody is initiated and they're chanting 4 rounds, they're disobeying the order of the spiritual master. They won't go back to Godhead. If you want to go back to Godhead, you have to follow the order of the spiritual master and chant at least 16 rounds. Otherwise, you'll take breath again for sure.
Spiritual master has given
In ISKCON?
Not in ISKCON.
Yeah. The other spiritual masters don't have the same potency as Prabhupada had. That's a fact. You may say, well, they're Gaudiyas, so we can follow them. You may do that if you like, but I can tell you for sure there's no spiritual master who has the potency for delivering anywhere as much as Srila Prabhupada. He's the most potent Gaudiya preacher in the line of Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Six Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada is the most potent. If you're all serious, 16 rounds, if you're looking, well, let me find a shop around and find a guru only requires me to do 4. Why be lazy in a matter of self-realization? Why not take advantage of the most powerful spiritual master in the history of the whole universe? He's giving you an easy facility. 16 rounds is not that much, really. If you get up in the early morning and chant before your workday begins, it's not difficult. You get up early before sunrise, chant 16 rounds before breakfast, and then begin your day. It's not a difficult thing, really. It's not difficult. You could say, well, I'll shop around for another Gaudiya Sannyasi. The other Gaudiya Sannyasis don't have the connection with Bhakti Siddhanta that Prabhupada has. They don't have as strong of a connection with Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada has the strongest possible connection. You won't find this connection anywhere else. I'm not saying they're not connected, but I'm saying Prabhupada has the strongest connection, far and above any other Gaudiya Sannyasi. That's a fact. He's the only one who could have done what he did. No one else could have done what Prabhupada did and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. They're sitting in their temple in Mayapur. They couldn't conceive. They thought it was some poetic simile when Lord Chaitanya said, Priti Vitti Acha Yatra Nagaradigram Sarvatra Pachaya Hoyabhimadinam. As many towns and villages as there are throughout the entire world, this Krishna consciousness movement will be spread. They couldn't conceive it was even possible to do such a thing. Prabhupada is the only one who had the vision to understand what Lord Chaitanya meant by that instruction and make it a reality. I can't understand. Of course, if somebody's already initiated, that's all right. But why someone would have the opportunity to become a follower of Prabhupada and go somewhere else because, well, they only require 4 rounds a day. Doesn't make sense to me. It's not a very intelligent thing to do. Not intelligent. Here is the most powerful spiritual master. Let me take advantage of his great spiritual potency. You see. You strictly take shelter of Prabhupada's instructions. I guarantee you that you will become the happiest person you could ever be. Beyond your wildest dreams, you will become happy. You can imagine there could be so much happiness in this material world that you'll be tasting. I guarantee that to you. What is your name?
Stephen Lazarus.
Oh, Stephen Lazarus. Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Isn't it that those who water down the philosophy or the
what is it, principles, aren't they going after the followers or just something like that? I don't know. Depends on who they heard it from. There's so many, that's too general, it's such a broad thing, it's hard to say. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. It's at 64 rounds. 1 lakh of Haranam every day. That was Prabhupada is adjusted it. But actually Bhakti Siddhanta is at 1,100,000 names every day, which is 64 rounds. So 16 is it's a special concession. If we can't even handle the special concession, we're not serious enough about spiritual life. It means we've got too many other interests. I had one lady say, "Well, I reckon I have the time to do all this. You know, I got to watch my TV shows. I got so many things I have to do." Well, you know, if you're really serious, you'll get rid of the television. If the television interferes with your chanting, you just get rid of it. Take it to the second-hand store. You know, get rid of it. We don't need a television. We don't need these mundane entertainments. If we can fully immerse ourselves in Krishna consciousness, we will taste the sweetest nectar. Sweetest nectar at every minute. We won't want to stop at 16. We want to keep going. Let me do 32. Let me do 64. You see. The thing is, to keep your nose above the water of the material ocean, just like you use a mobile phone? You have to charge your battery, don't you? Otherwise it'll go dead. So there's a certain amount of charge necessary in order to make it through to the evening when you get home, when you take rest at night. So 16 rounds is the minimum charge necessary to get you through the day in this Western society. Maybe somebody sitting in Mayapur where you're surrounded by the Holy Dham. And that's something. But here in the Western world, if you don't chant at least 16 rounds every day, you're going to, halfway through the day, you're going to feel totally disconnected from Krishna. But if you can do 16 quality rounds every morning, I guarantee you, your spiritual batteries will stay charged throughout the whole day. You'll be surcharged 24 hours. You get a 24-hour surcharge from 16 quality rounds that'll carry you through to the next battery charging session. If you do 4, 8, 15, even 15 and a half rounds every day, your battery is going to run dead before you go back to the charger again. And you're going to be in trouble. 16 rounds is the minimum required to charge you up for 24 hours. If you can put in more, that's even better. Even better. Questions, Maran?
I've got a question which is exactly opposite of Prabhu's questions. How to keep the balance between the work and the Krishna consciousness? Like, if a person is too much having too much desire of reading Bhagavatam and he's not able to concentrate in his workplace, he always wants to listen something about Krishna, like Krishna music, Krishna Kirtan, Prabhupada Kirtan, or he wants to read something constantly about Krishna and he's not able to get his mind around the work. How does he deal with this problem?
Well, depends on what kind of job you have. I know one devotee is very Krishna conscious. We stayed with him one time for several weeks, and he just walks around the house singing Panchatattva Mantra, Hare Krishna, just all day long. He's totally very blissful. So Krishna arranged for him a job where he can come or late and stay late, avoid the traffic jam. And all the other workers go home, and he chants his japa on the job. He chants his 16 rounds at work. And then he comes back to the temple in the evening and does the puja for the deities many evenings. So sometimes Krishna will give you a job where you can actually do that. You can go to work and chant your rounds, you know, get. He works for, he does a computer programmer for the Parks and Recreation Department. Talk about a cushy job. Parks and Recreation, not exactly a high-stress environment. But you know they have inventory. They have the swings and the sandboxes. So they have to have a computer program to make sure all the parks have enough sand in the boxes. And the swings, the chains are all there so the kiddies can swing on them. So he has to write, you know, like that. So Krishna arranged a job for him where he, and they love him, the boss loves him. He's been working there for like 30 years, you know, getting ready to retire with a nice pension. So Krishna can arrange sometimes a job where you can just, you can read and chant, you know, take it easy, get a good pay, and good job security. Krishna can do anything. So if you have a job that allow you to do that, that's great. You can listen to bhajans all day while you're doing your work. That's very nice. Take advantage of it if you have it. And if you don't have it, you do as much Krishna consciousness as you can and cover your basics in your job. Prabhupada used to talk about the early days. In the early days of ISKCON, the devotees started an incense business, Spiritual Sky, and it became the number one incense company in North America. In America, the Wall Street Journal came and did an article on the Hare Krishna Spiritual Sky incense business. They took pictures of Dhanavir when he was a householder in a business suit, working for Spirit. He's a sannyasi guru now, but he was a householder, Dhanavir Maharaj. They had pictures of, Wall Street Journal had pictures of Dhanavir going out with his shaved head and a tie and a suit to go out and, you know, sell the Spiritual Sky incense to the retailers. So Prabhupada noted how in the factory, devotees, they had all the devotees dipping the sticks, and they had Bhagavad Kirtan playing tapes, so all day long they're dipping the sticks, they're hearing Hare Krishna while they're dipping the sticks. So if you're not happy with the work environment, that you can't be Krishna conscious, this is start your own business. You see, if you're in the computer business, then you start your own consulting company, have your own computer, your own employees, and you can play bhajans all day in the sound system. If you're not happy, then you just start your own, take your profession you're doing now and just start your own company. So you can have Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, actually, the way the society should be set up is that every company, they should have a mandir there at the factory or the office, where all the employees gather in the morning for kirtan, you see, and hearing something from Bhagavad Gita. And you go through the work days, and at lunchtime there's prasad for everyone, you see, prasadam. In this way, and you know, in their break time, they can go to the library and pick up Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Isha Upanishad. And then when there's a festival, there can be a big gathering up at New Govardhan for all the employees, you know, weekend, a yoga retreat, something like that, you see. Or the new retreat now, the Bhakti Yoga Center in Hartford. So, yeah, if you're not happy that my present job situation, there's not enough scope for hearing and chanting, well, just be industrious and think of a way you can change your situation where you can have more hearing and chanting at work. You see? Be creative. Krishna said, you know, man proposes and God disposes. You have to endeavor. You want to have a situation where you can be more Krishna conscious. Krishna will facilitate you if your desire is sincere. Questions more? Yes.
I have a deity of Jagannath Paladev Subhadra. Every morning when I get up, after cleaning everything, I do aarti first. Do I have to do chanting first or aarti first?
Well, what time do you get up?
It's like 4:35.
You can do an aarti first and then chant. Or you can divide it up. I mean, that since you're getting up that time, I would do the RT first. If you get up at 3, for example, you could do half your rounds and then do the RT. Depends. But that's, you're already getting up. It's good to do, the ideal time for the RT is like at 4:30. So you're already getting up a little bit late, so you should do the RT first and then chant. Questions, Mark?
Can we come back to a point we were discussing earlier in regard to preaching to people under time and circumstance?
Yes.
It was very enlightening to hear yesterday that you had so much success in some Islamic...
Yes, maybe we should show that tonight. My computer is easy. It's, I just bring the laptop down, I can show it to everyone tonight easily.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, that'd be nice, a little... At a certain point, maybe right now or in a few minutes. But he's asked a question. Let me answer the question thoroughly. Yeah, just bring the computer and bring the computer bag as well. Both things. Yes.
And I'm sure that everyone in this room has experienced it at some time or other. Someone with a fundamental religious viewpoint is very difficult to break down, and it's sort of co-linked to what we were discussing earlier where the philosophy is presented, or religious philosophy, spiritual philosophy, is watered down to a point where to attract many followers, and it's a very, very easy process. But the fundamental viewpoint of many people who adhere to this type of process makes it very difficult to open their minds enough to give them Krishna consciousness. And I was wondering if you could share some of your experiences on how to interact with these types of people.
A hardcore fundamentalist?
Yes.
The best policy is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Asat sanga tyag. Avoid them as much as possible. They're not worth it. Find, there's so many people out there that are receptive and interested. Spend your time and energy on them. Don't butt your heads with people who just want to defeat you. But, I mean, you can basically, sometimes we have cordial meetings with such persons to where they're not really, they're a little respectful and they're having a polite sort of ecumenical dialogue. That's different. Then you can be very tactful, just like we were invited to do a program in a Christian church. Remember that? In Austin. And I just preached about the similarities. You know, we're all, you know, the same principle of totally surrendering yourself to the will of God in this way. But then after all that, and I said, but we have one beef with you. And that is the beef. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, and you're eating. You're killing and eating the animals. They laughed. They weren't offended. Because I had told them, had a nice talk about how, what a great devotee Lord Jesus is and this and that. And then finally I said, but this one thing, you're not, this is not good what you're doing. And they didn't, they had no complaint whatsoever. They just listened and heard that we felt that they're doing was very wrong. Actually, if you speak in a friendly, compassionate way, you can tell people anything. Prabhupada could tell someone on their face, you're a demon, and they would take it. Because he spoke with compassion. He spoke with love. He spoke with style and poetic expertise also, in a very clever way, he would say, that was attractive to the mind to hear. You know. So if one does like that, then people, you'd be surprised what people will say. But for me, it's a very simple thing. If someone says, you know, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. I have an easy, see, for me, it's very easy with the Christians because Jesus brought me to this movement. So I have no trouble. Yes, I'm a Christian. Jesus Christ inspired me to chant Hare Krishna mantra. So you're telling me that I'm going to hell? Because I actually, Jesus inspired me to do this. It's under His inspiration. I'm Krishna conscious. I'm following Jesus. To me, it's an easy one. I have fun with them. They try to tell me I'm following Jesus. He brought me here. I tell them, you know, when Jesus comes again, He'll come back as Hare Krishna. You know what Prabhupada said? He said, every member of this movement is the Messiah. I don't tell them that. The Messiah means the second coming of Jesus, you know. Prabhupada said, every member of ISKCON is the Messiah.
But they won't believe it.
Of course they won't believe it. So I don't tell them. But actually, anyone who seriously takes up preaching on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, they are the Messiah. They are a person who can deliver the whole world. Anyone who fully surrenders to Srila Prabhupada's movement and takes up the banner of preaching this Krishna conscious philosophy, they are the Messiah of the new age. That person, that one person can save the whole world. You see, so we have a whole movement of Messiahs. The Messiah movement. I really felt I was with the Messiah last night when I met with Atmaram, for example. A man of great spiritual vision. Very deep realization. Questions more? Yeah.
This question is in line with the question from Grace regarding the preaching. Should the preaching be taken in a local language wherever the local community would probably react more? Probably
we can speak in English. We're in Australia, English-speaking country.
Yeah, but some parts of some other parts of the world, and even in India, some parts may not. Local people may not be.
It's good to convince, get a local devotees, make them Krishna conscious, so they can preach in the local language. When I travel all over the world, I go to countries where they cannot understand English, but there's some. English is the world language now. Actually, is the world language. It's the most universal language on the planet. And so I always, wherever I go, there's some English translators there. And they translate it for me. I speak one line in English, they translate it into Latvian or Russian or whatever.
But if a person has the local language, he has the knowledge of the local language, should he be preaching in English or should he be preaching in the local language?
Whatever is more attractive. One thing I noticed in some countries, I forget where it was, in places in Europe, when they run they'll run an advertisement. Yeah, in Finland. If you advertise in English, it's considered more, because they're bilingual. The people also study English in school. If something is in English, it's considered more high class than if it's advertised in Finnish, the local language. It gives more prestige. It's really cool. You know, it's like, it's not just Finnish. It's like, it's more universal. It gives the image of universality if it's advertised in English. So it depends on the sixth situation. If the people know English and the local language, then English might be better because it gives a feeling of universality. Depends on the situation.
Yeah, if the local sentiment is more of the local language, then what should be chosen in that case?
Depends. It really depends. Prabhupada was ordered by Bhaktisiddhanta to speak in English, so he did that. Even if they didn't, no one knew what he was saying, he would do it on the order of his Guru Maharaj. So it really depends on the situation. But our policy is to translate the books into the local language. I should really look at the individual circumstances. It's hard to make a general rule that would be universally applicable because there's so many different situations for preaching.
So should the discretion be used at the time when you're actually preaching and the location you're actually preaching?
Sure. Yeah. So time, place, and circumstance. Desha, kala, patra. One should always preach according to time, place, and audience. That's the injunction. There's no hard and fast policy. You can make a committee, an administrator can sit down and make a handbook and say, this is your rules, now follow them. You know, we do that to some extent, but the real thing is when you're actually there in the real situation, you have to see how it's affecting the people. What's most effective to attracting them to Krishna? That you have to judge. If you can attract them more with the local language, then use the local language. If it gives it more prestige and makes it more attractive, you can use English, then use English.
And if this thing causes contradiction, I would say, in the local ISKCON setup, if this creates a problem because somebody used his discretion while preaching, is there, this is
so specific. This is not really a philosophical question. This is a managerial question for a specific situation. So this is better to discuss one-on-one. This is not philosophy. This is management. Managerial things are totally according to a specific situation.
It depends. Just like in Mayapur, there are more Bengalis, so they have a Bhagavatam class in Bengali, and there is a class for, simultaneously there is class for English-speaking people also. So there is arrangements in different temples according to the number of persons attending that program. Even in Vrindavan, there is a Hindi class.
Yeah, they have Hindi and
English
simultaneously every morning. Two classes going on. And at Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, they had a translator. The English was on the main stage. They had a section for Russian and a section for Hindi. They had a translator there translating and running translation simultaneously.
There are small groups. There is a person who knows English or whatever language is spoken. They'll translate their whole group of people who will sit around.
One person will sit in the corner and who's very expert, and he can hear and translate at the same time. I've seen, it's amazing how they can do that. In Bulgaria, I think somebody was sitting there, and he would hear, and you know, he'd be hearing what I'm saying and translating it while I'm talking. I just
in Mumbai
they did that also. Yeah. Now sometimes there'll be in Latvia they'll have a translator sit there in the Russian language. I'll give one line, and then he'll give the translation over the sound system to everyone, because there everyone needs the translator practically. So it depends on the situation. Questions further? There's no question, and we can see how we preached to Muslims in Istanbul. Istanbul was a very interesting place. We went last April there. So we can look at this video now, huh? Yeah.